well, our final guest of the week, and the first time she's on the show. Her name's Dr. Jenna Robinson. She runs the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewal, talking a little higher education. They're based out of the Raleigh area, and they highlight a number of issues related to higher ed, where we're at now, enrollment slipping in certain areas of the country, cost of tuition, of course, has skyrocketed, the politicization of it all with, what, a huge majority of educators and professors at higher education of their level, leaning way towards the left side of the political spectrum, literally, in some of the bigger institutions in America, you have zero identified or affiliated professors with the Republican Party, Libertarian, or any sort of middle to the right side of the political spectrum. We'll hear a little bit about what the Martin Center for Academic Renewal is all about right now. Dr. Robinson, it's great to have you on the program here this morning, and welcome to the Myrtle Beach area.
It's great to be here. I wish I were there in person.
Well, no doubt. Well, maybe we'll have to get you down here one day, and we can hash out some of the issues of the day, from politicization to high tuition cost to innovation to the cost that athletics has on students through fees and whether it's valuable enough to keep a lot of these programs at some of the schools that may be struggling with things like enrollment. So that's pretty much everything and under the sun focused over at the James G. Martin Center. Give us a little bit more insight and dig a little bit deeper into some of those things.
Sure. So the Martin Center got started in 2003 when a trustee at UNC Chapel Hill realized that even as a trustee, he could not really make changes in what he saw as the big problems on higher education, including, you know, dumbing down in the curriculum, kind of abandoning some of the traditional things that people used to learn in general education, skyrocketing costs. And, you know, this was 20 plus years ago, and we're still facing the same problems. And so the things that we focus on are we want to be a voice for excellence and accountability in higher education. We think those two things have to go together. We want, you know, responsible governance. So we want the trustees and the legislators and the administrators who are in charge of governing our universities to be responsible, to not let those costs skyrocket, to do a good job. We want viewpoint diversity on campus. As you mentioned, there are some departments where there are zero Republicans, zero conservatives, zero people, even center right. You know, the whole department is far left, and we think that's really bad for education. We also want academic quality in teaching and learning. I'm sure you saw that big study out of UC San Diego recently about admitted college students. Who are having to take remedial classes in middle school math. And we think that is a travesty. And we also want, you know, cost-effective education solutions and innovation. Higher education is one of the most regulated industries in the United States, and it is one of the most hidebound industries. It takes forever to innovate in any way. We are just now in this country getting 3-year degrees, which is something that Europe was experimenting with 20 years ago. So we want to, you know, address all of those issues and athletics, as you mentioned, which for some universities is just becoming a cost center that they cannot afford.
There's no question they tack on huge student fees to help fill the gap when it comes to funding, you know, different athletics programs, and what they bring in isn't necessarily not even close to what's being spent in terms of the expenditures out there. But outside of the athletic realm, when you look at it, you highlighted the fact that there are a good portion of kids who are accepted through the application process into these schools, yet they are not proficient in basic high school math and English, but somehow, some way, accepted to these schools, and then, in many instances, forced to take out a student loan, essentially to take classes that they should have mastered in high school prior to even applying to attend maybe a 4-year college.
Absolutely. And I think that is the blame for that can be placed on both high schools and colleges, you know, working together for a bad outcome in this case. The high schools have just inflated their grades to the point that if a student makes A's and B's, we no longer know that that student has actually mastered the content. You know, it used to be if you look at a student and they've got all A's and B's on their report card, you know that, okay, I am confident that that student is going to be able to come to college and do the work. That's just no longer the case. There is so much pressure in high schools to get students through, get students graduated. And so the grades have just gone up and up. You know, whereas A used to be an uncommon grade, now it's the most common grade. And so when colleges go to look at, who are we going to admit, seeing A grades is no longer a surefire way to do that. But colleges bear some blame, too, because they have stopped requiring, a lot of them have stopped requiring students to take the SAT or the ACT in order to get admitted. And those tests, they have their own problems, absolutely, but at least they're an objective measure across different schools. And so it helps you compare people to know who's more prepared and who's less prepared. And colleges have just started saying that that the test is optional. And so I think that means a lot of students get in who are just who are not prepared for college, and they're not prepared to succeed, and would probably be happier going a different route than trying to get a four-year degree that will, you know, that will ultimately end with them having dropped out with debt and no degree. And that we know that people who have debt but no degree are the most likely people to end up in default on their student loans, you know, really never able to pay them back, with, you know, ballooning interest and just never making a dent in it.
Hey, we're talking with Dr. Jenna Robinson. She's the president of the Martin Center for Academic Renewal. They're out of the Raleigh area. Just lastly, in terms of grades, I mean, where are the administrators at the high school level, the guidance counselors, even the teachers who know that these kids aren't up to snuff? Why are they not directing them? And even the university, you know, admission offices saying, you know what? Hey, you got all A's. We noticed that through these standardized tests, you're not proficient. Why not go to the community college level where you can get free tuition or, at a very low cost, get caught up to snuff? And then when you hit that mark, then we'll look at accepting you and enrolling you into these schools rather than saddling them, as you said, with tens of thousands of dollars of debt to take a high school level course.
Right. I mean, I think for colleges, they are desperate for enrollment. We know that we've hit what is called the demographic cliff. About 20 years ago, there was a birth dearth. We had the Great Recession. People stopped having as many kids. And so now we're seeing that in the college admissions pipeline. We've got fewer high school students that are graduating, which means fewer potential students to go to college. So colleges are just relaxing their standards so they can keep enrollment up, because that matters for their bottom line. As to why high schools haven't taken this on, I think it's, this mantra of, everybody is a winner. It really is it's a culture problem in our high schools that they don't want to fail anybody because they're concerned about their self-esteem. They're concerned about, everything but academic achievement. And so we've got to change that culture, excuse me, and we've got to make sure that, colleges are using the right tools to admit only students who can succeed. And I think, sometimes the legislature needs to get involved, especially with public schools or public universities, and say, look, you've got to stop admitting students who can't succeed.
And while, of course, if you're going to a school in state and it's a state university or public college, the tuition isn't what it might be at a private school if you're coming out of state. But there's no question, high cost of tuition on the minds of parents out there. Recent surveys I've seen showcase the fact that for the first time ever, majority of the American public believe a four-year degree is not worth the cost, in large part because of the high cost of tuition. What has led to this drive and skyrocketing costs to attend any given school across the country?
A lot of schools have really, really increased the number of administrators on campus, and it's kind of an arms race. So if you are, UNC, which is, right here in my backyard, you look at what UVA is doing and you look at what USC is doing. You're looking at all the other schools that are your competitors, and if they have added more student services, more student events, more student activities, better dorms, they're going to do the same thing. So there is really an arms race, and we get a huge number of administrators. And, students are – They're demanding these services, and I'm putting that in scare quotes. So they're demanding these services. They're saying they want these services, but they don't understand really the consequences of having to pay for them when they graduate or when they leave school. So it really is that there has been a huge increase in the number of administrators on campus and their salaries. And of course, for the longest time, you know, the population grew and grew and grew, and so universities could still attract students. So the universities are just now, like, the chickens are coming home to roost with this demographic cliff coupled with the growth that really exploded for, like, the past 20 years.
Hey, Dr. Robinson, as we wrap it up, one other note that I want to touch on it as it relates to, you know, kids attending college and the demographics of these kids, obviously, you know, within the threshold of that 18 to 20-year-old time frame, or even a little bit older, depending on what you're going to study and how long you're going to study. Let's take out some more loans and then complain that I can't get a job because I studied 18th century literature for 6 years and can't find any work that'll pay me to help pay back those student loans. But it seems like there's a political divide in all this as well, not only within the staff and the faculty members, but also amongst the demographic of young people, more young women attending college than young men. Do you think that has to do with the fact that there are trends leading in the direction where young women are going further to the left of the political spectrum, while young men are leaning more to the right of the spectrum at this point?
I definitely think that's in the mix. One thing we see a lot of universities do is calling masculinity toxic. You know, all masculinity is toxic. And if that is what a university is, that's the university culture. Why would a young man want to be there? And I think they see it in high school as well. They're seeing this kind of attack on masculinity, and it turns them off from further education. But also, you know, there are a lot of young women who go to universities and end up in low-paying jobs who can't pay back their loans. So it's interesting, you know, what are some of those young men who are skipping college and going to the trades, becoming entrepreneurs, going to the military? Like, they might be making a good decision, a better decision than the young women who are taking on debt for a degree that won't pay off.
Hey, let's continue this conversation in the future. We're talking once again with Dr. Jenna Robinson. She's the president of the Martin Center for Academic Renewal. If you'd like to know more about what they do, why they do it, go to their website, jamesgmartin.center. That's jamesgmartin.center. No question, Jenna, we'll continue this conversation. Keep us in the loop. We'd be happy to have you back to discuss further.
I'd love to be back.
All right, that's jamesgmartin.center. You want to learn more about what they do up in the Raleigh area? A great conversation surrounding higher education, the state of higher ed, where the trends are, and, well, in fact, how, well, the vast amounts of Americans feel like a four-year degree no longer worth the price based on the cost and based on that perceived low return on investment after the school days are over.